Red tape, inflated land prices, rock-bottom interest rates, migration and speculation are fueling New Zealand's runaway property market. The 16th annual Demographia International Housing Affordability Survey, released today, ranks all eight markets in New Zealand as severely unaffordable. So, what are the solutions? Ruth Hill asks the experts.
House prices, the national obsession. Either you're feeling smug right now because you managed to buy years ago, or you're drowning in debt from that massive mortgage, or you're in deep despair because house prices are rising faster than you can save for a deposit. Wellington IT professional Chris McKenzie is 32, single, earns good money and has saved a decent deposit. But he expects he would struggle to pay a mortgage alone, which is why he's considering more creative ways of getting into the market, such as a group purchase.
It really looks like one of the better ways of getting a mortgage paid off would be to, for a person on a single income, to share that with other people on single incomes. Granted, there's a number of risks. If one person can't pay, then and you've got a plan for that.
But why are New Zealand houses so expensive? Co-author of the Demographia report, Hugh Pavlidge, blames inflated land prices due to planning restrictions.
That 400,000 hectare of just artificial planning value on the fringes of Rolleston, probably about a million on the fringe of Christchurch, and probably about three odd million on the fringes of Auckland plus, of just artificial scarcity values.
He's optimistic that legislation currently before Parliament to relax planning rules and fund infrastructure will make housing more affordable in future. But he says local councils should be making more land available now.
It was only a few years ago you couldn't give houses away in Dunedin, and they should just about fire the council down there and put in commissioners and do that while they're on the job. Do the same for Tauranga and Wellington as well. This has gone on for so long, and these people have been looking at this problem and have been completely irresponsible and not reacting to it.
Economist Shemabil Jacob agrees more flexible planning rules and financing for infrastructure are needed so more houses can be built. But he says simply freeing up land won't fix the housing crisis for the most vulnerable.
If there's something the government can do immediately, I think it's massively increasing our supply of public housing, because there is a real and urgent need that cannot be solved any other way.
Fellow economist Nick Goodall from CoreLogic says houses are actually more affordable than they were 3 years ago by some measures, including the share of income needed for mortgage payments. That's due to the fall in interest rates, which also allows people to borrow more. Mr. Goodall says investors grabbed more than one in four properties in October, beating out first home buyers who had a 24% market share.
Talk about a more comprehensive capital gains tax from the government got ruled out. And so it seemed those investors gained a bit more confidence and come back into the market in the latter half of last year.
The Property Investors Federation Chief Executive, Andrew King, doesn't believe investors are pushing first home buyers out of the market.
Only 7% of the population actually own rental property. The numbers have to work, and at the moment it's really quite difficult to actually make rental property work.
Mr. King says it's pressure from migration driving house prices. He says it's always been difficult to get on the property ladder, but for different reasons. He had to get a second job to afford the interest on his first home.
It will mean hardship, though. I mean, there's just no way around it. If you want to own your own property, you have to forego other things and you have to save a lot of your income in order to get that deposit.
Mr. King's seasoned advice to first home buyers is don't give up. For Checkpoint, Ruth Hill.